in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving higher, time and time again. Through the years, you'll find us here. Moving Iron.
Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast number 169, brought to you by Dawson Tire and Wheel, the premier tire and wheel provider in North America, helping people grow. Today my guest is a pretty regular guest on here. Might as well just be the Aaron and Casey show, because he's on here about as much as I am. So, Aaron Finn, what's up, buddy?
Not much. What do you know today?
Not nearly enough, my friend. Snowed up here. Shocker. It's January, so what do you expect?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's cold.
Yeah, got a little skiff here in Alliance too, so.
Yep. Yeah, it's been we've had this kind of warm streak going on for a while, and then we get a cold morning and it feels a lot more cold than what it really is.
Right, yeah. Well, that's like the last couple nights, you know, especially, well, the last couple nights I've done chores, actually all week, without a coat.
Yeah.
You know, sure, it'll be 30 degrees and a full moon, and hell, it's just badass, but when it actually is winter, it really sucks.
Yeah, it does. It tends to really suck. It can't snow here and be cold without at least a 30-mile-an-hour wind, so that always helps.
Right. Yeah.
That always helps things out quite a bit.
Yeah, right. There is no snow that falls down. It goes sideways.
That is true. That is true. So here we are. We are 10 days into the new year. How's New Year kicking off for you?
Good, good. It has been, there has been no let up whatsoever from year end. In fact, I would say it's even maybe a tick busier. There's a lot of action going on right now. And it's not one specific category. It's, you know, a little bit of everything. So,
Yeah, it's been it's surprisingly, you know, usually you kind of feel a little bit of a slowdown of some sort in that first week or two of January, but this year's not been that way. It's really kind of stayed steady, if not gotten busier. And there's a lot of irons in the fire and a lot of guys out kicking tires and sniffing some deals. So there's plenty of activity going on, which kind of leads me to believe that that mid-year January or June, July time frame when corn price got halfway respectable again. Some folks had some money to burn and they got their December contracts delivered, and that's what we're seeing this right now is this coming on right now, and folks are out taking advantage of the cash they've got and updating some equipment.
As they all should do routinely.
Right on, right? Yes, which would bring us into a conversation about probably the one machine that gets bought and sold the most, I think, in this industry is just the good old tractor, right? So if you step back and take a look at whether it's a four-wheel drive tractor or row crop tractor, primarily row crop tractor is probably the most prevalent in that. It's followed up by probably loader tractors, then I would guess 9Rs for four-wheel drive would probably fall into that third slot down there.
Yeah.
But I guess as you kind of take a look around, that 1, 2, 3-year-old tractor seems to be a fairly popular rig right now with guys updating from maybe a tractor they've had that's got 5 or 7 or 10 years worth of work on it, and they're trying to go from that 5 to 7,000 hours down to 500 or 1,000 hours. So I guess, what are you seeing out there, Aaron, with the folks you're talking with on that 1 to 3-year-old tractor?
That 1 to 3-year-old, especially the 1-year-old, has been red hot. And, you know, obviously that is given current ag economy, that's close enough to new for a lot of guys that, you know, they're kind of like, piss on it. That's good enough, and it's a lot of savings off of a new one, and we'll just go that route, and it'll be perfect. Yep. So that has been, you know, and we always have such a, you know, I know for us specifically, we always have such a hell of a good selection of one-year-old stuff that that's just kind of the way it is. You know, we sell that stuff all over the country. So it's just kind of one of them deals where, you know, we're in that realm. So it happens a lot. I would assume it happens everywhere else, you know, to some level, but it's definitely the, and I would say it's that way, way more with that. That would be pretty much row crop specific. I know, you know, we do a lot of loader tractor business too, and that is very, it's, I shouldn't say very, it's similar, and people do, you know, one-year-old stuff there, but that market is, it's a different level of hotness, because I don't think that everybody's after the one-year-old there so much as, say, 3 to 5.
Right.
Just because, you know.
On the loader tractor side of it, I think a lot of those guys are just looking at the functionality of the machine that they're looking for. Looking for a specific horsepower range with a specific amount of lift capacity and that kind of stuff.
Yep. Yep. So that's, you know, well, plus the loader tractor is the thing. And when I say loader tractor, I'm talking, you know, like 140, 150 horse loader tractor.
Right.
Regardless of color, that is like the tractor that bridges the gap for everybody in the country. You know, it's the little auger rig on the big row crop farms, and it's the big tractor for, you know, like what I would call a super acreage. Like they're not just, you know, a little bigger than an acreage, but not a full bore farm probably. And then, you know, you got all the livestock guys, that's their bread and butter. So, and that being the case, that's, I think that's why that's more of a 3 to 5 deal, because they don't really need that 100-hour rig like that. They're more after the, you know, let's get in there about 1,000 or so and let it cheapen up a little bit, and that's kind of where they're at, you know. And a lot of times in ranch country, they're not trading in a 5,000-hour tractor anyway. It's got five digits.
25,000 hours, you know.
Yeah. Right.
It's
right.
Got some hours on it, yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. That is for sure. So let's step back, take a look at the next range. You know, if you really dive into that 3-year-old to 5-year-old tractor, that is a sweet spot for a lot of folks, like you just talked about, whether it's row crop or whether it's, you know, four-wheel drives or whatever it is. So if you start looking at basically 2013 to 2016 model, machine, 2014 to 2016, somewhere in that range. That's when you start really starting to see those machines popping up that's got the 1500 hour row crop rig to, you know, 2500 hour row crop rig, something like that. And that seems to be some guys that are right now, like they have a 10 year old tractor that might have 5, 6, 7, 8,000 hours on it, and they're saying, I'd love to have 500 hours, but 2,500 hours is going to work for what I got. So talk about what you see in that older kind of sort of first-year Tier 4 engine tractor.
Yeah, I've actually had quite a few guys. Well, not quite a few. A handful of guys in the last week that have reached out to me to get them a rig exactly like that. They're, you know, they're even saying as broad as 1500 to 3500.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of that there. And depending on specs, I mean, you can have the 1500-hour tractor and a 3500-hour tractor the exact same price, but there's so much difference in value given specs and whatnot that, you know, they, and that's kind of where those guys are at. They're saying, you know, I'll look at a 8235R straight axle power shift, or I'll look at a 8245R ILS IVT, but way more hours. But I want the fancy shit, and they're, you know, those tractors are almost the same price. So,
right,
there's a lot of that going on in the world right now, and it's all, you know, obviously it's all price points driven, and it becomes, guys more and more are looking at it not just as, well, that specific tractor's too expensive, or that specific tractor is the one I want. It's dollars, you know, it's the investment side of it. Dollars for investment.
Right.
You know, I can, yes, I know this tractor's more, but it's still a better buy than that really cheap one because of what it is.
Right. Agreed.
So, and that's where, you know, a little creativity with marketing and finance and that kind of thing jumps in, and away you go. So,
yep, absolutely. So the next, I would agree with that too. I mean, so you start taking a look at that specific tractor, and that's exactly what you're looking for. Is a guy that wants a specific rig on a specific budget, right?
Yep.
Not to say that that other budgets aren't in place in other places, but there are. There's plenty of opportunity, I guess, for the guy that has that really specific budget of, I've got $100,000 to spend, and that's it. I'm not going over it, and I'm not
right.
I want to, if I can be $100,000 or less on my trade difference, then I'm making something happen. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep running what I got. And I think that's what that group has to offer, is what that group of tractors has to offer to that guy is that very thing, you know. If you step back and take a look at the next, you know, 5 to 7 year old to 10 year old tractors, that's when you start running into everybody's kind of trading in the same thing that's kind of got the same number of hours on it. That's when you kind of start like the combine deal, you know. That's when you start running into those tractors that have, they all have about 5 to 7,000 hours on them, 8,000 hours on them. They kind of all have a similar spec because they were kind of bought when everybody had money, you know. And
right,
you start kind of running in the same machine with the same number of hours, and that's where you start hitting that glut of machinery. I guess when you start taking a look at a 10-year-old tractor right now, what are you going to – I guess what's your appetite right now for folks like that? You start looking at 2009, 2008, 2010 model tractor. What's the appetite out there for those machines right now?
Well, for those, it's fine. Where the stalemate happens is in the, I'm going to say 11, or I'll say 10 to 14. That one, you know, year of the lone year of the first 8R, the second generation of 8R with the filter on it, and then the first year DEF.
Right.
That covers those three models in that stretch. What there's getting to be a glut of, and this is the tractor I equate to the 12, 13, 14. Funny how that happens, huh? Combines with 15 to 2000 set.
Right.
Is those early 8Rs that have 5,000 hours, 6,000 hours, you know. One owner rig's been green lighted every year, but they just kept running her and running her because, you know, they got that 14, and the day they got that tractor home, corn went down every day for 2 years and then stayed down, and that's where we're at.
Right. Yeah.
So there's it's the same thing with the combines, you know. Part of that is just age, you know. So not all of those are obviously probably less than half are still with the original owner. But it's that same scenario. You know, there's just so damn many of them made then. And they're all still out there. They're all getting bought and used. And they're just getting a hell of a lot of hours on them. And they're going to always be there, you know, until there's a big change in the ag economy. So,
right. Yeah, no, I kind of echo what you just said there, man. They're just there. That's kind of what they are. You know what I mean?
Right. They're probably the one spot in the tractor market that I think is, that I would label as soft.
I'd agree with that.
Everything else tractor-wise is pretty good. But when you get those, you get the row crop tractors and that, you know, five to 10 years old and over, say, 4,000 hours, that's a shitty spot.
Yeah, yeah.
You get older than that, fine, run with it. Newer than that, run with it. But it's that little glut that's kind of a shit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I think other thing too, so we watched auctions quite a bit and kind of see what's going on there. I've read a couple articles about it and seen some different blog posts and what have you about it. But you start looking at machines like an 8400 or 8000 10 series or some of that stuff, that early 2000 stuff, late 90s stuff. And even if you start getting back into the 80s, they are really starting to show a trend line there where they are getting to be quite valuable to some extent, I guess. I mean, I think the ones that we watched, that I've watched sell, were some anomalies as well. You know, they were some of those I've seen. I think it was an 8400 or something like that had like 1500 hours on it. You know, of course, it's going to bring a bunch of money, right? It's that odd tractor out there that everybody wants to go get because it's, you know, low hours, but it's, you have to worry about the electronics and those kind of things. So I guess it doesn't always feel like we have a lot of those laying around that even with 5,000 hours on them or 6,000 hours on them. So I guess what's your thought on those, and what do you think? I mean, I think this is kind of a short-lived trend. I think as soon as the market bounces around and people got some money again and they want to upgrade their stuff, they're going to look at some 5-year-old or newer stuff, I think. But maybe I could be wrong too. But I guess what's your thoughts on that, and where do you see that market going?
Yeah, that's always going to happen. And that's just the one-off thing, you know, like a guy... That's always going to happen. Those are one-offs and oddballs and that kind of thing. You know, you'll always have that. It could be 20 years from now and somebody will unearth another 2,500-hour 4440 and everybody will lose their mind and pay three times what it was worth new. And that's always going to be there.
Right.
As far as... I don't know that you could even trendline that other than the fact that if you look at it both ways, you could trendline it from way ridiculous to pretty ridiculous. I think that's all the more variance you get with that. So,
yeah.
But that's always going to be there. I know... You know, you see on social media and stuff, guys, oh, man, I wish they still made 4440s and all this kind of shit as they're driving an 8R, and you're like, no, you don't. You know, you're in the smallest 8R, which has 50 more horsepower than that 4430 had, or 4440 had, at three times bigger cab. You know, way better ride, all that. Like, no, you don't. And I saw a guy yesterday. There was a thread going around about people wanting to get back into older machinery. And the one guy said, how did he put that? He said, and he's a farmer. He's a pretty good-sized farmer. He says, farmers don't want old shit. He says, they'll bitch about anything. He goes, that's just what we like to do. You just bitch about it. Yeah. And I thought, well, that's probably as well said as I've seen anybody say it.
Right. Now, I have a hard time believing that there's this rollback trend idea of, we have our ISG guys talk about it all the time, that all these red lights and buzzers are going off telling you to shut down the machine, but they'll keep pushing just a little bit further, but let the AB line go down and they can't get it reestablished. They'll stop the tractor immediately and they can't function without it. So, I'm not saying that there aren't people out there that still go out every day and plant the old fashioned way with markers and those kind of things, but, the way tractors ride now and your ability to have more efficiencies and those kind of things are, I don't see it being a big trend. I think there could be some guys out there that are, looking to save a buck and they're maybe having a backup tractor or something like that. That's an older tractor, but their primary tractor is going to be as much technology as they can afford, you know, and it's going to be the latest model they can afford, I guess is what I should say. And it's a machine that they're going to use day in and day out.
Right. Yeah. You know, you look at it from the smaller farm perspective or something like that. Me personally, and I'm a fan of, 70s and 80s iron. Everybody knows that. But if I was farming just a quarter, I would much rather have a 15,000 hour 8300 over a 9,000 hour 4955. Same horsepower, all that. But God, wouldn't you rather sit in that 8,000, so they'd probably be the same money, Matt. I would rather do that just for comfort and features and shit,
Right. Yep.
And I know I'm not alone in that thought. Why sit in a Soundguard cab when you can sit in an 8,000?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. That is exactly right. So what do you think about on like 9Rs, like four-wheel drives, those kind of things? Where do you feel like that sweet spot is on those tractors? Or is it a more featured than it is?
Yeah.
Here in price.
Yep. Very, very feature-driven market. There's... Even if you have a smoking deal on a, say like a 500 horse, smoking deal, but it's standard pump, 710s, that kind of thing, it's going to be a lot harder to move that than a high feature one that's maybe priced fairly high. So,
yeah. It seems like to me anymore in those four-wheel drives, they didn't have a PTO on it, it's... Even in wheat country where the bareback jack was a pretty standard machine out there, just your standard base build machine, those PTOs are starting to be a bigger deal. Just trying to utilize the track more, grain car tractor, that kind of stuff. It just seems like
right.
PTO is almost a key selling. It should almost be like a standard option anymore, it feels like.
Yep, that's exactly right.
3-point, on the other hand, is depending on where you're at in the world, the 3-point is either a deterrent or a deal breaker, one of the two, depending on where you're at.
Yeah, so 3-point is very, very hit or miss. It's either, oh my God, I can't live without it, or why in the hell do they even offer that? There's no in between with that.
Right. Yeah. If you start looking at those row crop applications where they're using a lot of mounted planters and those kind of things. Those seem to be a pretty popular deal, but there's just being more and more that are, it's kind of, it depends on where you're at. What, on those four-wheel drives, where, what's that sweet spot hour range that you're seeing right now that guys are kind of gravitating towards?
Man. I would say it's kind of in that second level of the second level of what we talked about with the row crop tractors, that 15 to 3. Okay. And I know that's a damn broad range, but that's where it seems like you can get the most action. And I think that is just because when you look at a high feature four-wheel drive tractor that's under 500 hours, that is an expensive damn tractor, man. Of course, you know, they're all expensive, but their four-wheel drives are not the number one rig on very many farms anywhere in the world. So, you know, guys are more apt to get to write a bigger check for the main tractor, the second tractor, than they are their big horse.
Right. Yeah, they're everyday driver type mentality.
Right.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. There you go.
Yep. Absolutely. No, that's true. That is true. I'm starting to see. One thing you are seeing with, that I've noticed anyway with 3-point PTOs is that they are getting to be more and more. This would probably be on the large scale farmer side of it. They start to get bigger, but the demand for doing away with their typical row crop tractor and moving towards that row crop four wheel drive is starting to. Seems like that's getting to be a bigger deal.
Yep, I think there's a podcast about that, as I recall. But no, and that's where, like we were talking about, points on four wheel drives. I would not even worry about it over 500 horse. Back to that original best selling podcast.
Yeah,
I would not worry about 3-point over 500 horse on a wheel tractor.
Mm-hmm.
But under 500 horse, it's pretty nice to have.
Yeah.
And on a two track, because we are hashtag team two track here.
Right.
I would put it on every two track.
Yeah.
There's a lot of places in the world where they use that on high horsepower two tracks, and there's not very many of them out there. And when guys want it, and you got it, there you go.
Yeah. No, I hear you. No, it makes perfect sense, and that's kind of where we see things gravitate towards. So it seems like tracks are getting to be a bigger deal than they were in the past, so there's going to be more machines out there that are going to need to have that spec range that we're looking for, especially when it comes to high-flow hydraulics. So that's going to be a bigger and bigger deal, too.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Well, I feel like we knocked this one in the head, Aaron. If folks want to reach out to you, pick your brain, see what kind of deals you got cooking, what's the best way to do that?
Well, you can call me or text me, whatever you want to do, 308-760-1193, or catch me on the Twitter at Aaron Finkel on there, and a lot of guys do reach out and tell me they listen to the podcast and like what we're doing, and that's pretty badass to hear, so
yeah.
Keep listening, fellas.
Yeah, thanks to all of all the listeners out there that tune into this thing called Humanity Podcast. So appreciate all the listeners we've got. You want to find me, I'm Casey Seymour. You can hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Moving Iron LLC. Also check out website movingironllc.com, and that's all kind of the latest stuff I got kind of going on out there. I've got a blog post I post every once in a while. Different things that are in my hollow head, so check that out. Also check out the Global Ag Network and see what they've got going on over there. It's a newsletter you can subscribe to. catch all the great other podcasters like Dryland Farm Podcast. I'm on there quite a bit with old Brent Lane, and so make sure you check that out. Also, check out Dawson Tires website. You guys are going to check that out. There's a lot of great information out there about tires and what they, they've kind of, I don't know what's the best way to describe that, Aaron. They're probably what the, they're kind of like the tire nerds, I guess is the best way to put it. They can put all the information you want in there about a tire, and they're going to come back with what you should be running. So check out that website, too, and what they got going on. They've got a lot of wealth of knowledge over there, and we use them pretty extensively here at 21st. So.
Yep. Yep. Great, great, great tire knowledge.
Yeah. Good stuff. So, well, Aaron, you got any last thoughts you want to throw out there before we shut it down?
I don't, man. I don't. I hope everybody has a fantastic and well-earning 2020 and hammer down.
I will echo that too. Best of luck in 2020. And I guess with that, until next time, I'm Casey Seymour with Aaron Fennell. Let's go move some iron. Out.
Moving iron in the 21st century.